at night. Many a moon come and shine a light. Taking her clothes off, it break my mind. Taking her clothes off, gonna take off mine. What's so bad, it's like...
Hello, cocktail lovers. Welcome to Paris Cocktail Talk, the show brought to you by the 52 Martinis Guide to Paris Cocktail Bars. I'm Forrest Collins, and I'm here to talk to you about the trends and traditions of drinking in France. Today, we have a guest with us, Frédéric Revol, who is a farmer, agronomist, and founder of the Domaine des Hautes Glaces. This is the first organic whiskey distillery, and we're going to talk to him about that and talk to him about organic practices and what makes this whiskey different and kind of some other subjects around that. So welcome, Frédéric. Thank you for joining us.
Hello. Thank you for the invitation.
So can you just maybe tell the listeners a little bit about the Domaine des Hautes Glaces and what you distill there?
Domaine des Hautes Glaces is a farm and distillery that I founded 15 years ago. This is the farm and the distillery are located in the heart of the French Alps. We are distilling crops, grain, cereal.
Great. And now the grains that you're distilling, they're grown and distilled in the same place. Do you want to talk a little bit about the connection between the land and the final product, that's the final distillate? Kind of what are the benefits? What does that bring to the process?
Actually, this is the starting point of the journey of the project of Domaine des Hautes Glaces. Because I'm a whiskey lover and I love the whiskey so much, but when I entered into this project 15 years ago, I was feeling there was something missing. There was something that has been forgotten about the link between the land, the raw material, and the final product, the whiskey. Because all the whiskey world, the whiskey industry is focused on processes, on transformation, know-how, talking about distillation, talking about aging all the time. But there was something missing. What about the raw material? What about the influence of the place? So I decided to create from scratch a farm and distillery to explore this link, to reconnect this wonderful spirit to the living systems, to the place, finally to explore the question of terroir, as we say in French.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Terroir was the word on my mind as you were explaining this. I thought, you know, of course, it makes perfect sense that a French person going into this business would be thinking about it in terms of terroir. So I think that's very interesting and something that does often get very overlooked in the world of whiskey. There's very few whiskey distillers that concentrate on the location of where their grains are grown. So I think that's really interesting. Now, Domaine des Hautes Glaces, it's the first farm organic distillery in the world, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
I think it's correct. Yes.
Okay. So can you explain a little bit what that means just in terms of the land and the raw materials, kind of how you treat the soil, the seeds, just kind of talk about the organic climate, the organic practices that you employ.
Yeah. So as you said, we are trying to make whiskey, to produce whiskey a little bit like fine wines. I'm convinced that in the whiskey, there are great vintages and the variety, the vintage, the plot can be the factors of the quality of a whiskey. But it only happens for me under certain conditions, respect the soil, the raw material, the environment, etc. So we are, you're right, fully engaged in organic and regenerative agriculture. And that means that for farming, what does it mean? We are making what we call lengthy crop rotations, and we are also cultivating the diversity on a plot, on a land, for example. Year after year, we are using different crops. 1 year it will be barley, for example. The second year it will be rye. But then we will have recovery periods where meadows are allowed to grow and bloom naturally. We also have some specific practices like direct drilling with no tiling, which encourages soil vitality and helps to save energy. Obviously, we don't use any chemicals at all. It means no pesticides, no herbicides, no chemical entrance. And also, in this vision of regenerative agriculture, we try to promote biodiversity and nurture life. So all around the plots, the fields, we are creating hedgerows and kind of buffer zones between the fields and the woodlands, things like that.
What's the point of a buffer zone? How does that help with the organic practices or environmental practices? The other things I've heard about, but the buffer zone, I'm not clear about what it does.
This is the idea is to create areas where the biodiversity can happen, where, for example, deer. You said deer.
Yeah, exactly. Deer.
Deer can have pastures.
Okay.
This is a place for also a lot of bugs and little mammals and birds to create their nests, their vessel, and this we know that the more a system is complex and diverse, the more this system is resilient, and the more it helps our own fields to be resilient and to yes, I think.
Interesting. Yeah, that makes sense. Now I know, okay, it's also not just the organic materials and the processing of the lack of processing of the soil, etc. But also, I think that you put some thought into how you're doing irrigation and your energy sources. Is there kind of some environmental aspects to that as well that you want to share?
Yes. You're right. Our philosophy is from the grain to the bottle. So we try to implement kind of circularity of the resources in the way of we are transforming, processing. We don't use any chemicals during the process, and also we have decarbonized the production process. That means that we are using wood for the distillation and heating and for the heat in the distillery. This is local local wood. We also reused a lot the energy with a unique system which takes up about a quarter of the distillery, and we are using I don't know how to explain that, but we are saving energy thanks to the water circulation and heat exchanger, and the electricity consumption, which remains very low, is sourced from a partnership with a renewable energy supplier. So the whole energy in the distillery is sustainable and renewable. We also take care of the circularity of the carbon and the nitrogen. For example, we are using the draft of the distillery, of the brewing, and we compost them, and then we spread the compost to the fields. So it helps to fields to feed the fields and the soil again. So finally, in a field, we don't take so much because we only take the crop. And then the draft are coming back to the soil. Also, we are using the effluents. We are stocking all the effluents of the distillery as we are fully organic, so we can stock the effluents and then spray them to the field again. Yes, I think okay.
Well, I really appreciate the fact that it's this double benefit when you've got this overall environmentally friendly and sustainable practices. It leads to an interesting product, but also, you know, it's beneficial environmental benefits as well. So this is how you treat the soil, this is how you process things, and then you've got your finished product. So do you want to tell the listeners what, just maybe describe a little bit what your whiskey is like, what they could expect when and if they taste it?
Okay. I think the philosophy is that we are thinking that the fight for the taste and the fight for the environment are the two faces of the same coin. Finally, this is the price to make good products to drink and good product to think and produce. And I think people can feel all these intentions in the taste of our whiskey, and we have created a range of whiskey in order to make this happen. We've got a collection that the name of this collection, this is the Timeless collection products with a single rye spirit. So this is a 100% malted rye spirit, and it is not aged in a cask, but rested in natural continents as clay pots or stainless steel tanks. So it's a very nice product to feel the deeper typicity of the rye. And then we've got a single malt. The name of this single malt is called Indigenous. Obviously, this is a reference because indigenous means native, local, and everything is local in this bottle, from the crop, the water, the energy, the yeast. And the typicity of these two products is probably that you can feel all the subtle aromas of there are a lot of freshness, a lot of intensity linked to the raw material, a kind of something very digest. You For single malts, our single malts are very sweet, but they are not sweety at all because there's not a lot of oak or typical aromas of the oak. We are trying to make a balance between the soil and the taste of the soil, the taste of the crop, the taste of the vintage, and the final product. A link between that. And to explore that more deeply, we have a collection of limited edition, which is called Episteme. Episteme, this is a Greek term, which means knowledge, science, something know-how, something like that. And as we are making everything from the crop to the bottle for 15 years, we have a huge traceability of everything. So we are able to make discover the influence of each step of the process or the influence of a single plot, the single plot effect, or the influence of the yeast, things like that. So this is our range.
That sounds like a very interesting range. And I like the idea of being able to, you know, you're really getting a flavor of France. You're really getting a flavor of the products that it comes from. And I also, so I know that you also have an eau de vie, correct? So not a whiskey, but an eau de vie, which I think is interesting, an interesting way, especially when you've got good products, to showcase terroir and to showcase the flavors of the natural ingredients. So I'm much more used to eau de vie that's distilled from fruit. So can you just tell me a little bit about your eau de vie? Is it basically a white whiskey? Is it just unaged?
The name of this eau de vie is Velson. This is an eau de vie, a rye eau de vie. And this is a triple distilled. Our whiskies are double distilled. And we are making a triple distillation for this product because of the, in order to concentrate the typical aromas of the rye and also to get a very nice texture. And then it is rested for years in neutral continents. And this eau de vie is actually a vat of different vintages and different plots around the distillery. So this is an eau de vie rested between 1 to 10 years old. And what is very interesting is resting in neutral countries, you've got the very the true concentration of flavors of the rye, and it's a product very interesting, very nice. I like so much because of this very distinctive flavors, and also because this is a product which is made from rice or from a crop. But you're right, this is a little bit somewhere between a fruit eau de vie, between mezcal, and between a whiskey. So it's very rich, very intense, and you can taste the typical flavors of the rye that has grown in the Alps.
I think that sounds very interesting. I've tried your whiskeys, which I really appreciate, but I don't think that I've tried the eau de vie, so I'm going to have to get my hands on a bottle of that and give it a try. So, you know, whiskey is the most consumed spirit in France, which I always find surprising. And we're seeing more whiskey production in France. Now, you very specifically talked about how you do this, where you're focusing on terroir. Do you think there's anything else that is setting French whiskey aside from its counterparts in other countries? Is there a French sensibility or style to whiskey that's distilled here? Or maybe there's not. What do you think?
This is still a young category in France because Domaine des Hautes Glaces, which has been created 15 years ago, is one of the oldest whiskey distillery in France. But you're right, now we are many in France to distill whiskey. More than 100 distilleries are producing whiskey today. So it's young, and what is typical, I think this is the innovation capacity. So it's quite diverse. I don't think there is a style at this time a French style, French touch for the whiskey. However, as you probably know, there is huge know-how in France about the different steps which are necessary to the whiskey elaboration. For years, for centuries, we have fermented, for centuries, we have brewed, for centuries, we are distilling, for centuries, we are in France creating casks. And there is a huge cooperage tradition. So, depending on the history of each distillery, most of them are playing with specific know-how, typical French know-how. So it opens new way of creating whiskey and new tastes for sure. But I don't think we can say that at this time there is a French style for the whiskey. It's more characterized by diversity than homogeneity.
Interesting. Well, I definitely think it's an interesting category to be watching here. And really, because of what you said, this very long history, this savoir-faire that France has around distillation. And so I think that that coupled with the fact that whiskey is so well appreciated in this country, I think that the future bodes well for French whiskey, and it will be fun to see where that takes us. Now, we're almost to the end of the half hour, so I'm going to wrap up here. I'm going to put in the show notes for the listeners where you can buy this whiskey. Just before we close, Frederic, I believe you brought a cocktail recipe for our listeners. Did you bring something to share?
Yes, I've got different cocktail recipes, but because there are some nice bars in London or in Paris that have created nice cocktails, but we also have a very simple house recipe, I would say, made with Volsan, and very simple and easy to create and drink for the summertime. The name of this recipe is Vulsonade. You know, in France we have limonade and Vulsonade. Vulson is the name of our rye spirit. So this is the recipe is very simple: 5 centiliters of Vulson, 5 drops of anthésite lime pamplemousse. I don't know if you know what is anthésite.
I don't. I was going to ask what that is. So, is it a bitters? Is it like a tincture?
Yes. Yes. This is a bitter, a very old traditional bitter from the Alps, from my region, and but you can find worldwide anthésite.
Okay.
And then you can just add some about 11 centiliters of ginger beer, and with a fresh rosemary garnish, it would be perfect on ice.
That sounds lovely. Now I'm going to have to track down this anthésite. Is that what it is? I'm going to have to find out, and I'll share in the show notes too more information about that, so listeners can also track it down and give this cocktail a go at home. So with that, we're at the end of the show. Thank you so much, Frederic, for taking the time to talk to us about this. I'm very excited about this product. It's really interesting that it's in the Alps, because I see so much of the French whiskey sort of happening on the western coastal area. So I think this is very cool. And if people want to buy your whiskey, is the information online on your website where they can buy it?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, great. I'll put that link up there. And then you said you mentioned some French bars and London bars. That are there particular ones that have cocktails made with your whiskey that you want to share with the listeners really quickly before we sign off?
Yeah, I think you can taste nice in London, nice cocktails at TNE. Also at Kyoku by Endo in London. There is a nice cocktail which is called Alpine Tommy's Margarita at Stereo in London as well. In London, either one.
I mean, I've got listeners in both countries, so if you've got a bar or two in Paris that also serves your whiskey,
if you stay at the Crillon Hotel, at the bar of the hotel, there is a very, very nice cocktail with Velsen, which is called Asparagus.
I just had the asparagus, actually. And by the time this goes out, that menu will probably have changed, but it's a great bar and that's a great cocktail. I just had it.
Yeah, thank you. Very nice place.
It's a beautiful place. We actually had Kevin, who manages that bar, we had him on the show a few episodes ago. So for the listeners, I'll relink to that show also in these show notes. So if you missed that show about the Crillon and what it's like to create cocktails there, you can catch up. Okay. And with that, I think we are really at the end of our half hour. So thanks so much, Frederic. Thank you to you listeners for tuning in and downloading and however you're listening. Thank you to World Radio Paris for editing and production. Thank you to Sun Little for the music we use. I will put all the links for all the stuff in the show notes. As usual, I remind you to please drink responsibly. And until next time, cheers. In the river, darling, oh my,